Welcome, warriors. I have a treat for you today. I met a woman in, surprise, a different Facebook group, and we share some similar passions. Her name is Tanya Cole, and one of those passions is supporting families on the autism spectrum. In this, the last episode during Autism Awareness and Acceptance Month, Tanya and I talk about her son and her passions. Grab a tissue and listen in as Tanya shares her relatively new experience of navigating the autism journey. Let's rock. Does your past haunt you? Maybe you're in a storm that feels like it will never end. Are you fighting a battle that's rendering you hopeless? Maybe you feel like you're fighting alone, but your battle was not meant to be a solo endeavor. You were meant to be a warrior among warriors. My name is Heather, and I grew up thinking my battles were nobody's business until I found myself in an abusive marriage and felt cut off from all avenues of help. In this podcast, you will hear warriors' words. They will tell you of their battles, both won and lost, their journeys, and their lessons learned along the way. But we don't stop there. These warriors will share how they have applied those lessons to go from warrior to survivor to thriver. Whether it's an abusive marriage, illness, mental health crisis, or any number of traumas this world dishes out, these warriors will use their words to help you find the beauty in your broken, move beyond your battles, and become the thriver God created you to be. Pick up your sword or boxing gloves and join the battle. Your words are powerful, my friends. Make them warrior words. Welcome back to the Warrior Words Podcast. Today's episode is the last in our Autism Month series. For now. This is a subject close to my heart and my family, as you know from the two episodes I did about my son, and to so many other families that I'm sure we'll be discussing it again. But for now, I want to introduce you to Tanya Cole. Tanya is a 49-year-old stay-at-home mom. She homeschools her two teenagers while her youngest goes to preschool. His name is Savage. He's 5 years old and is autistic. Savage has no words. So she created a Facebook group called Love Needs No Words as a way to support hers and other families on the spectrum. Prior to realizing Savage was autistic, she started her art journey, which was put on the side while she educated herself and her family about autism. She's recently been able to focus a little more on the art again, and it's wonderful. She finds it very therapeutic to create. And I agree with that. But before we talk passions, here is a review from Anna YT. Anna writes, "So real and powerfully inspiring. I have truly enjoyed the episodes I have listened to so far. Heather speaks in such a real, authentic way, and I appreciate her sharing so honestly about the battles she has fought in life so far, especially her most recent cancer fight. Thank you for encouraging us to hold on to God in the midst of the storms of life and seek Him to give us the strength to overcome even in the most challenging of circumstances." I appreciate that encouragement, Anna. Yes, seeking Him, especially in our most challenging circumstances, is a must, and it is so rewarding. And that episode she mentioned about my cancer journey, that is episode 3. So I hope you have a listen to that if you haven't already. Would you like me to read your review on an upcoming episode? Please go to Apple Podcasts and leave a review for the show. Your comments and star ratings help people find the Warrior Words podcast. It only takes a few minutes of your time, and it would help so much. Thank you. Now, would you like to be a Warrior Words insider? Get the latest news at subscribepage.io/pearls of wisdom. And that link will be in the show notes for you. Now, on to the show. Hi, everyone. As you heard in my intro, we are blessed to have Tanya Cole with us today. Tanya, thank you for taking time out of your schedule and joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Tanya and I know each other from a mutual group on Facebook that seems to be a theme running through my interviews, as I'm a member of several groups. So I find tons and tons of interesting people, and Tanya is one of them. So Tanya has a Facebook group of her own, which has a very interesting name. And so, Tanya, can you share with us the name of your group and why you chose it?
The name of my Facebook group is Love Needs No Words. And I chose it because my youngest child, who is 5, is autistic, and he's non-speaking, non-verbal. He has no words, 0 words, no mama, no dada, no baba, no drink, no bye-bye, no nothing, 0 words. So, yeah. But he is absolutely 100% able to express his love and his compassion and his caring and his needs and his wants to some extent. You know, even without words, he is able to communicate his care for his family. And so love truly needs no words.
And that's a wonderful observation, that he can express himself. And that, that's just, I love the name of the group. I really do. So was it his lack of verbalization that led you to seek a diagnosis?
For the most part, yes. At 2 years old is when we really knew something wasn't right, because he didn't have any vocalization words. He had sounds. He actually had one particular sound that he would make. And it kind of sounded like he was making a car sound, like a car engine sound or something. And he still makes that same exact sound. That's now, we call it his happy noise. That's his happy noise. But at 2, he wasn't no verbal other than that sound. He had big emotions and no control over them. And there was no consoling them. Couldn't make him happy. Didn't know what was wrong or why. He was so very upset, you know. And that was when I really knew something wasn't right. The doctor at the time, our pediatrician, suspected autism, but wanted to wait until he was 3 to seek a diagnosis. Well, I was uneducated, unaware about autism, and so I agreed, okay, we'll wait till he's 3 to get it diagnosed. Well, that was definitely the wrong move, because early intervention is the key.
Right.
And so you want to get a diagnosis sooner than later. So we did. We waited till he was 3. But at about 2.5, I knew in my heart and my soul that he was autistic. And that's what was going on, as well as, you know, sensory processing disorder and, pica and many of those other co-occurring disorders that go with autism.
Right. Yeah. I hadn't mentioned that one in mind, the pica. We had an incident with my son with that. And then he also has the sensory processing as well. So yes, I understand those, those very well. So what was the diagnosis process like for you, and how did you and your family cope with that?
When I finally convinced the pediatrician to send us a referral for diagnosis, he sent us to a neurologist locally. I'm in the Panama City, Florida area. Mm-hmm. And so they sent us to a neurologist. I contacted that neurologist, and he was like, oh yeah, you're going to have to call me back in about 9 months, and we'll see if we can get you scheduled then. And I was just like, absolutely not. We're not waiting. We're not doing this. And so much research and calls and everything on my own, I got him an appointment where I had to drive 2 hours one way, and got him an appointment, and I had him diagnosed within 6 months. He was diagnosed as autistic with sensory processing disorder, and we were told he was level 2, so moderate, which surprised me. I felt that he was more on the severe side, primarily because of the being nonverbal, but also behaviors, throwing, kicking, hitting, self-injurious behaviors, things like that made me feel he was a little more on the severe side. So, but that was the diagnosis. The family handled it fine. I mean, we don't have an extended family. Our family is in our house. Mm-hmm. It's myself, my husband, and our four children. You know, my oldest is 22, my daughter is 16, my middle son is 13, and our youngest is Savage, who is 5.
Wow.
But everybody was just kind of thankful that we all knew. It was like, okay, finally we got it in writing. It was still hard to process, of course, because there was no backing out of it at that point. It was like, oh yeah, this is what it is. And it's in your face and it's for real. Deal with it, you know?
Exactly.
Yep. Now, he got an educational diagnosis and that actually came back as severe.
Okay.
And so that was more in line with what I felt that I saw.
Yeah. It's interesting. I see two camps. There are, in one camp, we have people who they don't want the labels. You don't want to be called autistic, or you don't want to be, you know, labeled as disabled or something. And then there's another camp where you're just relieved to have that diagnosis, to have answers as to why you think this way or why you behave this way or why your child does. And so I know in our family, it was kind of a relief.
Right.
You know, I didn't want the labels, but the social worker helped me with that a little bit.
Right. I'm not a label person either, but I think with this, it kind of helps to better understand because it is such a huge spectrum. And, you know, you would be sitting next to somebody who's autistic and you won't even know it because they're very high functioning. They, you know, have children and a life and corporate job. They're holding down $150,000 a year, you know, and then you have the way other end of the spectrum, you know, and we need something to understand and differentiate the differences because the differences are major, you know, but even that person making $160,000 a year, they're probably having their own struggles.
Right.
They're autistic, but they've learned how to overcome them.
Right. And I agree with you because when my son was diagnosed, and he is in that high functioning category, but when he was diagnosed, it was Asperger's and PDD-NOS. Mm-hmm. And then after that, when they combined everything and just said, no, it's all just autism spectrum disorder. He was upset with that.
Yeah.
So, I agree with you. There should be something. Autism spectrum may be an umbrella. And then I think there really does need to be something else.
But I agree. Like, I don't know what the answer is, but there's got to be some sort of an answer out there to help, you know, better differentiate and handle the differences involved, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. So with your educational diagnosis of severe, how did that show up like in his education? Cause you mentioned to me that you homeschooled two of your children, or you homeschooled two of your children.
I homeschool the 16 and the 13 year old. Mm-hmm. I do not homeschool Savage. I'm older. I'm 49. I don't have patience anymore like I used to have one, you know, way back when. And I just didn't feel that I had the appropriate skill set to teach Savage what he needs. And so I went through Child Find, you know, the organization Child Find, and they did their own diagnosis, you know, and helped me through the IEP process. And they gave us options on schools. They were like, okay, he could go to this school or he could go to that school. I had the choice of sending him to a brand new beautiful school building, you know, but it was a regular public school that had an autism cluster classroom. So the whole classroom was autistic, but the rest of the school was not. Or I could send him to this other school that is only special needs children. And with the concerns that I have with Savage, I went that way. And I'm so happy and grateful that I did, because he's done wonderful. He's actually in his second year at pre-K at this special needs school. And although it's still a long road and we're at the very beginning of our journey, in all honesty, even though it feels like we've been here a while already, it was definitely a good choice. And I see much improvement, but he also increases in other behaviors that wouldn't be considered improvements.
So. Sometimes I think we take a couple steps forward, and then in another area we take a step back, and I think that's the journey of autism. I have shared multiple times that like one thing that works one week will not work the next week, and sometimes not even the very next day.
Hour to hour, even.
Yes. I can definitely relate to that.
So, yeah, my little dude is pretty temperamental at times.
Yes. So you mentioned Child Find, and I will put that link in the description for our listeners too, if they would like to use that resource. So moving forward, then you have taken some steps, like your group, Love Needs No Words, and then you have other things that you are doing to help yourself and your family, as well as to help other families. So can you describe some of the things that you're doing with those groups and in your social medias?
Well, so I have two severe passions in my life right now, art and autism. And with the autism side of things, basically I felt like when I first came into this journey, I was in such darkness and I felt so alone. And then when I finally realized that there's other people out there and, you know, there's really a lot of people going through similar experiences, I was so grateful for some of the communities that I ran into on Facebook, right? And so my way of giving back was to start my own community and build it the way I wanted to build it and keep it safe from scammers and spammers and stuff like that, you know? And we actually have 125 different documents up about different things relating to autism, from advice about homeschooling, from IEPs to, you know, the different co-occurring conditions, like, you know, the PICA that we mentioned, as well as different things like bipolar and schizophrenia, and, you know, just a lot of stuff. There's 125 different posts. And so we have a lot of information. We try to, you know, get as many people as we can to join, make sure that they fit our vibe. And on my art side, I just have my art page and I share my art on my page and I promote it, you know, through different groups. And I find it really interesting how many people do share the same passions of art and autism.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of eerie almost. I find a lot there. I bump into a lot of people like you that share the same exact passion as art and autism. And it's eerie and it's beautiful. So.
Well, I think there's a lot to be said for art therapy, that it is.
Oh yeah.
It is.
That's why I do it.
I mean, it's a recognized actual therapy. And then there's just, you know, if you're not using it as a therapy, it's just therapeutic.
Right. And it is therapeutic.
Yeah. And I think there is a difference, but I think they're both equally valuable. Yes, I find creating very, very therapeutic.
Savage loves creating too. He goes in my art room, which is a walk-in closet. That's my art room. And he goes in there with me and I have one wall space, like, this is your space. And he'll go and he'll dip his fingers in my paint and he finger paints on the wall in his space. And so he has an area in my art room that is his area.
That's so important. Now, my son, he wouldn't touch wet paint. That's the whole sensory processing thing. That would gross him out. In fact, he makes fun of he makes fun of my art, but and my art space, I like to think I have a studio, and I call it a studio, but it's a space in my garage, to be honest with you. I you know, it's like right. Cars on one side, art's on the other side.
It's a nice combination.
Yeah, there you go. As long as we don't have fumes, right? Open the garage door. There go the fumes.
Yeah.
So, okay. So that was, you know, I like to ask a lot of people about, or I ask everybody about their ways of thriving. And those, I think, are two wonderful ways of thriving. Mm-hmm. When you have an autism diagnosis, you have to remember, or everybody, I think, has to remember that you have to take care of yourself too. And so
self-care is hard.
Oh, it is so hard. It is. I've never been on a vacation, and I've never really left my son other than hospital visits. And it's, you know, and those have been scary. I think that when you combine both of your passions, you are thriving for others in the autism space, and you are thriving for yourself in your self-care space because of the therapeutic aspect of your creations. And I love that. Right. I love that. So I know you also said that your journey, while it feels long, you're just in the beginning, on the beginning path of it. Can you mm-hmm. look back throughout, I think you said he's five, Savage is five. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in the last 5 years, can you look back and see, it looks like a lot of chaos. It looks like a lot of hardship and struggle, but can you look back and see beauty in Savage's young life? Yeah. Can you share a story or two?
Yeah. Well, he's so pure and innocent, you know, and all children are pure and innocent, but he's even more so. He's like untainted by the world around him. One of his favorite things to do is stand in front of an open window, preferably on the windowsill anyway, and stare out the window at nature, you know, and he's a visual stimmer. And so he will put up those hands in front of his face and do like this, or just kind of get an angle and just stim and look out the window. And, you know, like you really wonder what he's seeing, you know, and it must be beautiful. Because why would he be looking at it for so long?
Oh, that's beautiful in itself. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I don't know. There's a lot of beauty. He's so pure and innocent. And he doesn't judge. He don't judge you. He don't care what you look like. He don't care if your hair is brushed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, all the things that we care about. Yeah, all the surface things we care about. Yes.
He will never judge you. You know, he's not going to be in a grocery store and have some kid run by and think, oh, what a weird child running by, or hear some noise and, you know, have some negative thought about that person making that noise. You know, he's beyond that. Yeah. We all need to be.
Yes. Oh, no. We could learn a lot. Yes. And I love your word untainted. That was a perfect word choice.
Yeah. So. He's definitely untainted.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you a couple last questions then. Do you have any warrior words that you would like to share with our listeners? Some kind of advice or something to share with someone that may help them if they're a newly diagnosed family on the spectrum?
You would think I would be prepared for that, but I froze.
No worries.
Just don't give up. And a diagnosis doesn't change who you are or who your child is. Being labeled as being disabled or having a disability doesn't make you any littler or any different. It's not, I don't know. I'd like for people to not be scared to go out there and, you know, seek the diagnosis if they suspect it, and not be ashamed. I want our children to grow up happy about who they are and not be ashamed that they're autistic, not be ashamed that, you know, we as society consider them as disabled. And people argue about that fact, if it's a disability or not. Well, personally, for me, for my child, it is a disability. It might not be for everybody, but for him, it is.
And that was very good. I like your warrior words because they really They shouldn't. And when they are untainted, as you described, savage, they really are. And they're shining examples of what we should be as humanity. Yes, I agree. Okay, so where can people come and find you? We mentioned your group, Love Needs No Words, and I will link that in the show notes. But where else can people find you online?
So I don't do a whole lot of social media. Most of my social media time is spent on Facebook, but I'm Tanya Cole on Facebook, and my art page is called Spectrum Pouring Arts by Tanya Cole. It's easy to find. If you want to look it up and follow my page, I would greatly appreciate it. We also do have Love Needs No Words as a page that I use for helping to promote the group that we have. We'd be happy to have you come join the group as well.
Okay, and I will put all of those links in the description. And you did have an offer for our listeners if they wanted to, see some of your art. Can you share that with us too?
Yeah, you know, if you do come by and you like art, I have a lot of art pieces available. Nearly most of my things that I've posted up currently on Spectrum Pouring Arts by Tanya Cole is available. I would be glad to let you have two items for the price of one.
Okay. And do you want them just to mention that they heard you on Warrior Words?
Exactly. Yes, okay. Ma'am. That would be the
All
best.
Right. Yep. All right. I will put that in the description as well. All right.
Okay,
well,
thank you.
Thank you very much for your time, Tanya. I appreciate you. And I thank you for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
I enjoyed my time with Tanya today. While I've enjoyed all of my conversations around autism this month, I think this one is very relevant to families who are just starting this journey of navigating the spectrum. It is my hope that newly diagnosed families will find their own hope in Tanya's words and experiences. As we've mentioned on previous episodes, autism is a spectrum. Tanya and I agreed that perhaps there should be some additional differentiations, though. This month, we've heard mostly about young adults who have, each in their own way, adapted to their challenges and are, to varying degrees, living successful adult lives. But what happens when we look at those young adults and then at our children who may not be able to achieve those accomplishments? First, don't compare. I know it's difficult. But it's really detrimental to our own peace of mind, and it isn't fair to our children. Each child is unique and has his or her own special gifts. I see this so brilliantly in Tanya's group, Love Needs No Words. Savage is nonverbal, and there are many children who also have no words. But as Tanya said, he is expressive and untainted. And ultimately, love is the most important thing. Despite the challenges that he has, Savage displays this beautifully. My challenge to you this week is to be more like Savage. How can you show love to someone? And how can you do it without words? And one more point. Tanya and I originally connected in an art group. We are both creating art for similar reasons, and it's very therapeutic. And it allows us to care for ourselves, especially as the mamas of children, no matter their age, especially as mamas with children with special needs. We need to find the time to develop therapeutic passions that speak to our hearts and our souls. So I guess I'm going to issue two challenges this week. How are you taking care of yourself? It's not selfish. Our families need us to be our best. And spending time pursuing a passion that gives us rest or speaks to our souls is necessary for us to be our best. What passion will you pursue this week? If you want to see Tanya's passion, head to the Spectrum Pouring Arts page on Facebook. And if you want to see mine as well, head to There's Beauty in the Broken on YouTube. Both of those will be in the description for you. And that's it for this episode. See you next week. Armor up. Fight the good fight. Seek beauty. Make your words warrior words. God bless.